Good morning. I'm glad we serve a great God because, only a great God could use someone as puny as me. So, Jim, some of you, I'm Sheila Bagley. That was my husband, Derek, that did announcements. We come to the first service typically, so a lot of you may not be familiar with our faces, but we've been here about 8 years, and I've filled in for Jim on a couple of occasions recently, so I'm always honored to do that. He's away, I think, in North Carolina this weekend. So I'm just honored to be here with you and to have the opportunity to share God's word with you. The title of what I'm teaching today is The Rest is Easy. And it's been a tremendous learning experience for me over the past 2 weeks as I've studied it. So I hope that what I share today will speak to your heart. I believe it will. But I want to start by asking a question. It's October, and most of us do the vacation in the summertime, but how many of you went on a vacation this year? If you raise your hand if you went on vacation. Most everybody went on vacation. Now, let me ask you a question. Did you come back from vacation rested or tired? Come back?
Tired.
Okay. There was a recent survey the Gallup organization did of 1,000 Americans, and it asked them when they came back from vacation, were they rested? And they found that most of the respondents, 54% in fact, said they came back from their vacation tired. And of that 54%, 19% said that they came back either very tired or exhausted. Now that's the category my husband and I usually fall into, because when we vacation, we're either doing one or two things. We're going to visit our grandchildren, who are very little, very active, and wear us completely out. And it involves air travel that just completely wears us out. And if we're not doing that, our other vacation, we're outdoor adventure type vacationers, and it usually involves some type of strenuous activity. I've been known to train for my vacation. Several years ago, we went on a vacation, and I was out in the neighborhood with a pack on, getting used to weight on my back to plan for our vacation. This year, we had planned, actually, this month to be on our vacation. We were going to do 90 miles on the Appalachian Trail to knock out all of Georgia. That would be 10 days eating dehydrated food and sleeping on the ground. So Derek, unfortunately this spring, out trout fishing, fell and broke his leg, and that was put on hold. So we didn't get to go on our vacation that we had planned. But when I met him at the hospital that night, I was trying to, add humor to the situation, and I came into the room and he's on the gurney with his leg, lifted, his shattered, and I looked at him and I said, "Why didn't you just tell me you wanted to go to the beach?" It's my idea to hike the trail, but if you just want to go to the beach, just say so. You don't have to be so drastic. But the survey reveals the truth about us. A lot of times we think we know what we need. We need a vacation, we need rest, but it doesn't often deliver what we expect it to. Well, Jesus knows that we need rest, and in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 through 30, he makes an incredible promise to us, but he invites us to find rest in a very unfamiliar way. So that's what we're going to be looking at today. Matthew 11, 28 through 30 says, Jesus speaking, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Now that's a familiar passage for a lot of us. And Jesus states a promise there two times. In verse 28, he says, "I will give you rest." Now that's not "I might" or "I'll think about it." "I will give you rest." And then he says in verse 29, he says, and you will find rest for your souls. So he's making a promise here. This is what you call a promise in the Word of God that you find and you, you know, cling to. Jesus says, I can find rest. So he says there that we find rest for our souls. And that's something different. See, our body gets tired from physical exertion. Derek and I did some projects this weekend, building a block wall and staining a dormer up on a rooftop. And I used some muscles with that stain brush that I don't use a lot. And moving around, we did. And we were tired at the end of the day, physically tired. But that's different. That's not exactly what Jesus is talking about. He said, I'm going to give you rest for your soul. And that is rest. Our soul gets weary when we're pulled down emotionally. We're pulled down, drained spiritually. We're mentally taxed and mentally exhausted. It's different than just being physically tired. It can make us physically tired. Being emotionally or mentally or spiritually drained can affect us physically. And Jesus says, if you come to me, I can give you rest for your souls. So that's the type of rest that we're looking for. And Jesus is explaining here how we find it. Well, we start in verse 28. Three simple words. Jesus says, come to me. Now, what's interesting about this is Jesus didn't say, come to a church, come to a denomination, come to North Point, come to Celebrate Recovery. Celebrate Recovery, I thought about that this week. I thought, you know, because he didn't call us to come to a program or a denomination or a philosophy or, you know, a religion. He called us to come to Christ, a person. Christianity is about a relationship with a person, the person of Jesus Christ. And I thought about Celebrate Recovery because we're celebrating it tomorrow night, 1 year of that program being offered by our church. And it has been a tremendous program. It's impacted a lot of people in a very, very positive way. And those of you that participate can testify to that. But the reason that Celebrate Recovery is successful is because I looked at this on the website. I pulled it up. Their mission statement, the last line of their mission statement is this. As we progress through the 12 steps, we discover our personal, loving, and forgiving higher power, Jesus Christ. So Celebrate Recovery is successful, and everyone who is participating in that, I'm sure would say I'm right, that it's successful because it introduces us to the person of Jesus Christ and teaches us that our victory is in him. So tomorrow night, again, I want to welcome all of you to come. That's exciting that Jim's going to give his testimony. I personally have never heard it, and maybe a lot of you haven't either. So I'm excited, and I hope to be here tomorrow night. But Jesus says, come to me. So he's inviting us to come to him as a person because he's the only one who can give us this kind of rest, the rest from the pressures and the stresses of life. But that sounds simple, doesn't it? Come to me. If he says, come to me, I'll give you rest. Well, that sounds really simple, doesn't it? So let me ask you, why are we still so tired? Even after we come to Christ, even after we're involved in church and you know, serving him, why are we so tired? Why do we not find that rest? Well, as I looked at this, I found an answer. It's usually one of the reasons is because we completely ignore what he says next. In verse 29, he says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. So we come to Jesus, but then when the next thing we ignore, he says, take my yoke. Well, when I was looking at this, I thought, wait just a minute. That's contradictory. Because I happen to know that a yoke is not the yellow part of an egg. Okay? Some of you, I just want to clear that up. But what is a yoke? See, we're not farmers. A lot of us aren't farmers. We've been raised in a more you know, suburban type atmosphere. So we don't really understand what Jesus was saying when he said, take my yoke upon you. So I'm thankful to Trish McIntyre who had made this available for me to use. And I want to hold it up because this has the secret to the rest that Jesus is offering. But let me ask you something. Does this look like rest? This is a yoke. This is an implement or a device used for what?
Work.
What does work have to do with rest? What does a yoke have to do with taking a yoke? If I invite you, hey, come to me and take my yoke, and I'm going to give you rest. Does that sound very, does that make sense when you know what a yoke is? Not really. So there's something we're missing, and we need to understand. So that's what we're going to be looking at today. What are we missing? Because obviously, Jesus says this yoke, his yoke, is the secret to that rest. So we're going to look at five things, and it will go quickly, I promise. The first thing is the most obvious, that a yoke is designed for sharing of the burden. See, that is designed for how many animals? Two. Now, who would that, when we put that on two animals, it makes the work easier for both, not harder. It divides the load and the workload. It shares the burden. So when it makes the animal, they're not working harder when they're yoked. See, our culture encourages us with this rugged individuality that says, I got this. I've got it. I don't need help. I've got it all taken care of. I'm handling it. I'm carrying it. There was a man who was going down the road with a big burden on his back, a big pack on his back, and a wagon came by and offered him a ride. So he says, thank you, and he hops up on the wagon, and he's riding, but he's still got the pack on his back. And the wagon driver says, well, you know, why don't you take your burden off? And he said, oh, but you're giving me a ride. I can't ask you to carry my burden too. And that's the way we are with Christianity. You know, we come to Jesus, but we still want to carry everything ourselves. That is very physically, emotionally, spiritually, mentally demanding when we're trying to handle it all. And Jesus said, take my yoke. It's easy. It's meant for me to share your burden. He did not intend for us to carry the weight of our cares and our weaknesses on our own. He didn't. The first thing he intended is to relieve us of the burden of sin by becoming our sacrifice. And then that's coming to him as Savior. And then the cares of our life, he intends to help us bear. He's there as our yoke mate to help us bear the burdens of life. And we need to understand that. So the second thing that yoke is designed is for surrender of control. This one hits home with a lot of us who are people who like to have a lot of control in our life. But an animal that has surrendered to a yoke is yielding himself to service for his master. You know, you're yielding yourself to service. An animal that's in a yoke is willing to be led and is not trying to control the outcome of the work that he's doing. He's only responsible for his obedience. Wow, if we can get a hold of that, it changes everything. See, we're not responsible if we're yoked to Christ for what he leads us to do. We're only responsible to be obedient in the work he calls us to do, and he's responsible to bring about the results. That's very freeing for us, especially those of us who want to always be in control. See, we're trying to control too much. We think everything depends on us. I don't know where we're deceived. It's a grand illusion to think I need to be in control of everything. There's a little phrase we use, if it's to be, it's up to me. Well, that is a quick way to drain all your energy, mentally, physically, every resource you have will pour out of you if you're trying to control everything. And for those of us who do like to control. This is a hard lesson, but it's one that I believe Jesus really wants us to learn. I said, I asked the first service to raise your hand if you are, like me, a person who enjoys control. Not many people out here that like control. Come on, y'all aren't being honest. Come on. Okay, now let me ask you this. How many of you hold that hand up and say, but I realize by now that I'm not in control? Raise your other hand. What are we doing? You're praising the Lord, but you're also giving the universal sign of surrender. I give up. Well, and that's what that is sometimes. You know, I can't do this on my own. I give up. I surrender. That I got tickled when my kids, I really started learning this the most whenever my young sons began to drive. I think that was the first real strong metallic taste I had in my mouth of lack of control. It became really tangible. When they drove out of the driveway, I waved goodbye and I felt nauseous. And I went over to the bay, the island at the time in the house we lived, and I knelt down and started pulling weeds. And I looked and I started laughing at myself. I thought, isn't this funny? I know I can't control that, so I'm determined to control this. You know, it's a reaction I had to, I've got to control something. So for me, this has been a very challenging lesson to surrender everything to the Lord and let Him be in control, and let Him be in control of whatever direction my life takes. So that's important. And obedience becomes my primary focus, not controlling everything, but obedience to what He leads me to do. The third thing I learned about a yoke this week is that it's designed to be shaped for a custom fit. Now, this was interesting to me because actually this is where I started. When I looked up and read this verse, and He says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for my yoke is easy. And right away, I knew there's something I was missing, because this is a yoke and a yoke is not easy. So what's the problem? The problem is how we define easy. How many of you guys remember the commercial from Staples? You know, with the easy button? Well, we have one of those at our office. And, you know, our definition of easy, according to the dictionary, is it is achieved without effort. Well, that was easy. Or it presents no problems or difficulties. Well, that's easy. So we understand easy as something that presents no difficulty, no problems, and is attained without much effort. Well, if we define easy that way, very few things qualify, right? And the Christian life often doesn't. So we so when I looked up that word in the Greek word there that's used for easy actually means good for a particular purpose or well-fitting. We might say it's tailor-made. So they didn't just go out to the barn, you know, and if you'll notice these pieces, they're shaped a certain way. That was to fit the animal that was in the yoke, and they actually custom-made them. So what Jesus is saying here is, my yoke is custom made to fit you. And if we understand it that way, it makes sense. Because a lot of times the reason we're so stressed out is because we are trying to do work and serve in ways that are not a good fit for us. You know, Jesus knows what He has planned for us to do. He knows how He made us. In Ephesians 2:10, this is a wonderful scripture. It says, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So when He calls us to rest, when He invites us to rest, it's not an invitation to stop working and have life easy. It's an invitation to do the work He gives us to do. Totally changes everything. He knows what we can handle. He knows what we can't handle. And he knows what fits with the gifts and abilities that he placed within us. There have been times I have learned this lesson, and what I have learned to do is to physically make a list. When I'm feeling stressed, I physically make a list of everything I'm responsible for, and I take it to the Lord and say, what's not supposed to be on this list? What is it on this list that I'm doing that is not your plan? Because if I'm feeling stressed and pressured, there's something wrong with some of the things I've taken on. And he will usually give me very clear discernment about what I'm doing that needs to be put down. Because he wants us to do the work he designed for you to do, not the work that you think you want to do. You know what? It's not so much there we get into trouble. It's the work that other people think you should do. That's where we get into trouble. I pretty much know what I feel, you know, equipped and called to do. It's when other people try to put on me what they think I should be doing. Then we get in, and you know, if you're not careful, you take that on, and it doesn't fit. So that's really very key, and especially that's true in ministry, that you really need to be sensitive to where God wants to use you and the gifts and abilities he's placed within you. So the fourth thing that was very interesting about a yoke is it's designed to promote guided training for the inexperienced. So when Trish brought this in and I looked at it, knowing the notes, I thought, wow, would you look at that? I'm gonna pick it up one more time so you can see. Do you notice anything about the two neck holders? I guess that's, I don't know what those are called. Do you notice anything about them? Somebody tell me what you see. One's larger. Did you know that's not an accident? They're designed that way. They're designed to put an older, larger, more experienced animal on the right and a younger, weaker, less experienced animal on the left. Do you know why? Training. The older, more experienced animal being yoked to the younger one, the younger one comes along and they work together, and he learns. Isn't that fascinating? When you think about us being yoked to Christ, doesn't that make perfect sense? Because he says here, take my yoke upon you and what? Learn from me. So he understood this when he was telling us to take the yoke. He understood. Now, notice he didn't say learn about me. There's a difference when you learn about something and you learn from something. He wants us to learn from him by walking with him in an intimate relationship that transforms us. See, that younger animal transforms as they're walking to understand what where he's supposed to go, how he's supposed to move, by following the guide and the experience of the older animal, the one with experience. So what Jesus wants us to learn, he even tells us that. He says, learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. Now, why do we need to learn that? Because our society is the exact opposite. Our society is geared more toward rewarding aggression and pride, and it seeps into us, and it creates pressure in our lives, because even as Christians, we get deceived into believing that success looks like this. Success looks like a dollar sign in your checkbook, or a house you live in, or a car you drive, and we get pressured, and we try to achieve and attain that. And Jesus is saying, I want you to learn gentleness and meekness and humility. He may bless you with material things, but that's not his ultimate goal. His ultimate goal is to help us become more like Christ. And we do that when we submit to his yoke and live and are guided and learn from him. When we pick up his word and we don't just read it, but we read it and let it transform our very lives and our behavior. He's our example and he's our guide. And so in that way, as we walk day to day, we're learning and growing. And this is the last point, that a yoke is designed for forward progress at a matching pace. I noticed when I was studying this that a yoke is not made from running around in circles. How many of you feel like you run around in circles? Whenever two animals were in a yoke, that yoke is designed to move forward at a steady pace. And the pace matches the lead animal. So a yoke is designed to move us in the forward direction. One can't go faster than the other. It can't go a different direction. Can't turn around and go back to the barn. If you're yoked together, you're going the same direction at the same pace, doing the same work. So that happens to us. That creates a lot of stress when we try to meet so many different expectations. It puts us running around in a circle, you know, running and trying to accomplish so much. And that's that creates the stress in our lives. So Jesus is saying, when you yoke with me, I'm going to take you at the right pace to the right place and go at the right time. And when we understand that, he knows how much time we have on this earth. You know, the Bible tells us that he knows our days before we live one of them. So he knows when you were born, and he knows how long he's going to have you here on this earth for his plan and purpose. And he knows what we need to do in between. So when we trust him and surrender to him, we don't have to feel like we're getting behind or we need to be in a hurry. We can rest and follow his lead and know that we're going to end up where we're supposed to be. I'm going to give you a quick example of what this looks like. Just this Thursday, Derek and I had a call. Actually, he did. From a young man that looks up to him as a businessman and as a Christian man. And this young man's in his mid-20s, college graduate, has taken a job up north, been up there for a couple of years, just working in his field, in his industry, making a good income. He's not married. And he's a Christian young man. And he called because he told Derek, he said, I've had a job offer, and I want you to pray for me, and that I'll have wisdom to know which way the Lord is directing me. So Derek began to ask him about the job, and he said, it involves a lot of travel. He said, well, you know, are you going to be taking your vehicle? You know, because it's all the East Coast. Are you supposed to drive your own vehicle? And he said, well, actually, they've told me that if I take the job, I need to go down to the dealership and just pick out the truck of my choice, brand new. It's 25-year-old young man. Well, right there, I'm like, ooh, I'd do that, because I could use a new truck. So then Derek talks to him a little bit more about the opportunity, and he said, well, is it a pay raise? Is it going to make, are you going to make more money? And he said, the young man said, well, here's the thing. It's triple my salary. He's a young single guy being offered opportunity with triple his salary that he's making now. Wow. How many of you say that's a no-brainer? I mean, what's to lose? Why wouldn't you do that? I tell you why you might not do it, if that's not God's plan. So the young man asked Derek, he said, I want you to pray because it would be so easy to make a decision because of the money, because of it's lucrative. It's going to give me a lot of money. It would be so easy to just automatically say yes. But I want to be sure, he said, that that's what God wants. Now, this is a young man who's willing that if God closes that door and says no, to stay where he is at one-third the salary and do where and be where God wants him to be, doing what God's called him to do, rather than just bite at the hook because it's a good raise. And he may take the job. God may give him the green light, and he may say, yes, this is how we're going, you know. We're going that direction. But I was very impressed with that young man who knew that it might be his tendency to go a direction that was not God's plan for him just based on the money. So that's why we need to be yoked to Christ. When we're yoked to Christ, we move together in the same direction and at the same pace. You know, I titled the lesson that the rest is easy. The rest is easy, but we don't find it by going on vacation. We might think that we need a hammock in the shade. We might think we need a good night's sleep, a nap on Sunday afternoon. That's what they tell me. But Christ says we need the yoke. He says this is what we need to find rest. And there are many people in the church who, when Jesus says, come to me, they come. They come. They want Jesus as their Savior, and they receive him as that. But when he reaches forward to put the yoke on their neck, they step back. Whoa, but I don't want that. I don't want that yoke on my neck. I want to be in control. I want to be in charge. I don't want to learn a new way of life. So they resist the yoke. And that's why so few today really know what soul rest is and have that as their personal experience. So the question I have for you today is, what about you? Are you ready to take the yoke and to find that the rest is easy? Once more, I'm going to read the invitation in Jesus' own words. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Father, I thank you for the promise of your word, and I thank you that you do invite us to come to you. And when we come to you, we can lay our burdens down, and we can yoke our lives to you and learn from you. And because, Lord, you know where you want to take each one of us. Thank you for the truths that you brought to light through my study of this yoke that you offer us. I pray for those here today, Lord, who have struggled a long time in their own strength, trying to control things on their own. I pray for them, Lord, that you would just minister to them today and help them to see that rest is found in you alone, in the person, in a relationship with Jesus Christ, and not just coming to you, but submitting to you and giving you control of their lives and learning from you how to walk with you, how to do things your way. Father, we all struggle with that so much, and I thank you that you offer yourself as our yoke mate to teach us step by step as we go down the path together. I praise you today, Lord, and I thank you that through all things you'll bring glory and honor and praise to your name alone. Amen.